Good evening, Mr. Bond, and welcome to the British Bogcast. This is a World of Us cast on oneofus.net. And remember, James, this is for your ears only.
Welcome to episode 4. I hope you enjoyed that intro. It saves me, and Kia definitely does like a mouthful, so I'm glad she got to get that out of the way for me. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. The reason for that little intro is because Kia and I this weekend went to go and see Bond in Motion.
Yay!
In London. Kia is a massive Bond fan.
Yes,
to the point that your 30th birthday present from my parents was what?
It was the all of the Bond movies in a special 50 anniversary Bond. It was just gorgeous. It's got all of them in there. It's got a special place for Skyfall, and it's got information on all of the Bond movies as you go through.
And they're all in Blu-ray as well.
Yes, very pretty.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bond in Motion exhibition is at the London
Film Museum.
Yeah, London Film and Television, or London Film Museum.
Yeah, I think it's London Film and Television.
Yeah, and it's in Covent Garden.
Yep.
So very, very easy and very central.
Wellington Street, everybody.
Mm. And it's got pretty much every iconic vehicle. Is there any you can really think of?
It's got some that I wish weren't in there.
Yeah.
It's got all of the really big Bond cars, I would say. It's, you know, got DB5, DBS, it's got even things from...
Had a couple of DBSs, didn't it?
It had a couple of DBSs. It had the wrecked one from...
Quantum of Solace. And the wrecked one from Casino Royale, yes. The one which you see get flipped.
Yeah.
So and that was in a bad state of affairs.
Yeah, it really was. But they have Cubby Broccoli's Rolls Royce. They have...
Nessie?
They had little Nelly.
Oh, Nelly, not Nessie.
Nelly.
Oh, dear, that's terrible. Nessie's another thing entirely.
Yes. they did just have the most gorgeous selection of cars. They had passports from Bonds throughout. They had Daltons, Brosnans, and
Daniel Craig's,
all with differing years.
He got younger and younger, didn't he, I think, yeah.
45, it started off with.
Well, Dalton was born in 48, or his Bond was. Brosnan was born in 58. I can't remember when Daniel Craig was born.
It took a nice jump.
Yeah, and different birthdays as well. Just trying to change it. Whether that's because of a secret identity or not.
Well, also Daniel Craig's wasn't down as James Bond.
Oh, it wasn't.
It was Arlington Beach, for Casino Royale.
Yeah, and what was Eva Green's character called? What was her passport?
Broadchest was her last name because I thought that was hilarious.
Stephanie Broadchest.
I think it's Stephanie. Yeah, Stephanie Broadchest.
It's just awesome. But yeah, we got to see one of the guns, and then there was the jetpack from, which film's that from?
Doesn't matter. I'll come back to it.
You come back to it.
But they had the grotesque crocodile submarine from Octopussy that I was genuinely having... I was not impressed.
And definitely stuff from Bond's darker times when he was driving a BMW.
Yeah, that was not good.
No, that wasn't.
They didn't actually have the Nokia that was able to control the entire BMW there, but...
It was good fun though, wasn't it?
It was absolutely awesome, and it's just such an amazing part of Bond history because it is... So many of them are so iconic, and you do just look and you're just like, that's Bond's car.
Would you put... I think when people talk about Bond, I think the first thing everyone does say is the girls. The Bond girls are always the biggest thing. Would you say the cars are the second?
Yes.
pretty much, isn't it?
Because it's always, like, a lot of the time it can be to do with gadgets, and so many of the cars were gadgeted up. The Vanquish was the, Aston Martin Vanquish was the only one that was there that actually had the full, or what they would call the full complement of weaponry to it, because it actually did have the guns built into the front of it, whereas all of the rest, you know that it does, but it doesn't necessarily have anything that can move. The Vanquish that was there, I think the guns could still, they were actually...
And that's the one from Die Another Day?
That...
is that the invisible one?
Yes.
Yeah, see, they could have had such a great joke and had an area cordoned off with nothing nothing actually in it.
Oh my god, that would have been the best thing.
Because it's, you know...
That would have been the best thing. They should have got Madame Tussauds to produce them... John Cleese as Q.
Yeah.
And just had him standing there.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing.
Well, I mean, he's in London at the moment with Monty Python. He could have just come along for the day and just stand there and... Yeah. Oh, I just thought that. I thought that's...
That is such a good idea. I think we need to email them.
Yeah.
And just say, just that last part of the end, just coordinate off, put a nice big sign, Vanquish.
That's when you knew, I mean, it was as we walked round, you saw some fantastic and iconic moments from brilliant films, and then you started to hit some other films, and you were like, oh, yeah, things are...
No, nothing outdoes Diamonds Are Forever, so, because that is genuinely the worst Bond movie.
There's so much come close.
Awful. Tiffany Case is a fucking disaster. It's just like, no.
There's no Q. Well, Q's barely in it, isn't it? Is it the one where he's got like the magnetic ring and he's like playing with the fruit machines and...
No.
No? Okay. I just remember it being...
I haven't watched
that film in a long time, but I do remember watching it thinking it didn't feel like a Bond film. It felt...
It is the one with the magnetic ring. Yeah, they do just try and do too much. The moon buggy thing. What the fuck? Why? Why? He manages to be in some sort of set where there is a moon buggy. It's just awful. Awful, awful stuff. He gets on that tiny little Honda scooter thing that he looks like he's riding a child's tricycle.
It's just...
an abomination. It really, really is. The fact that, you know, the whole thing with the diamonds, making up the stupid thing that's gonna shine lasers down. It's just everything about it is horrible.
One of the interesting things I thought, because remember we talked about some train on the way home, we bought like a lovely, if you get to go, I highly recommend you buy the program there. I'm not normally a fan of those type of things, but it was £12. It was really worth the money, I thought. It was beautiful photographs in there, some little fun facts, and a nice little thing to keep if you're a bit of a Bond fan, definitely.
Yeah, it really is very pretty.
Well, we needed this to confirm something, but I remember talking to you on the way home, and obviously we talked about the Bond film that never was, or never should be,
It isn't a Bond movie.
I know, but Never Say Never Again, which has 007 in it. It's not James Bond, but it's 007. And it was Connery bought out of retirement in the 80s and looking way, way, way much older than what he did in the 60s.
It's quite amusing because I think we were talking about this as well, that do your first and then we'll come back.
It was the fact that they actually, you'd have thought, because especially as it was being opened by, is it Barbara Broccoli?
Yeah.
Obviously, who's part of it's Eon Productions and everything else. They don't include the non-Eon produced... Like, I think it was only like a small prop from there or a small vehicle from there.
Yeah, it was an underwater piece.
But I remember seeing the sign and going, I'm sure that's the one which isn't... I think I got confused between that one and Thunderball, which one wasn't the real Bond film. And then I remember it was Never Say Never Again.
Yeah.
And it just... Yeah, that's a really... I would like to know what kind of controversy that actually caused in the 80s when that... It was, 83, 85?
Yeah, something... Yeah. Somewhere around.
Can you imagine if someone did that? You wouldn't get that past legal rights, would you, now?
No, I think the legal team so much sort of... Well, no, can you imagine someone else trying to produce like an X-Men movie?
That's the exact example.
Yeah.
If Marvel went, do you know what? Fuck you. We are Marvel. We're going to make this.
Yeah.
And just made a film with Logan instead of Wolverine. And, like, they just used all their... actual name, which is kind of...
Well, we're having that, aren't we, with what's going to be happening with Quicksilver...
And Scarlet Witch. Although Scarlet Witch wasn't in Days of Future Past. But yes, the twins are going to be in the Avengers.
Yeah, and it's just that I think we were talking about how they're going to explain who their parentage is and stuff like that.
I think that's going to be skipped over completely,
yes.
Yeah.
But do you see what I mean? It's like they could mention things, but they won't. No. But you've still got characters there that are appearing within two different universes.
Yeah. Okay, but I think that's obviously there's been some major wranglings between legal teams of who owns what and everything else.
But that's why I think we were talking about the fact that he was called 007 but wasn't called James Bond, or other way around.
See, I'd imagine you can't possibly trademark a name.
You can. Vincent McMahon has proven that you can trademark names.
It will be, is he actually trademarked like normal names or like names like The Rock, or has he managed to like trademark Steve Austin or
who did he do it with? I can't remember who he did it with, but
I can imagine like Hulk Hogan you could do, because obviously again it's not his real name, it's, you know, it's,
yeah, or Terry Bollea is never going to go over, really, is it?
No, it's not. No, it was the same as Dwayne Johnson. You know, it's just kind of...
That's a bit Dwayne.
Dwayne. It's just, it doesn't conjure the same images. If anything, as Brits, the name Dwayne only conjures one image, and that's from Red Dwarf with Dwayne Wibley. You know, that's the only thing you possibly think. Like, I remember when I found out his name, I was like, that fucking big dude's name is Dwayne? It was just like, it should be Goliath, or, you know...
Yeah.
But
I can't remember, but...
Sorry, we sidetracked a bit.
Maybe not. Oh, but no, what I was going to say was that I always find it highly amusing that Connery was taken over. You know, they had... they brought in George Lazenby, and then that didn't work out, and they brought back Connery, and then they brought in Roger Moore, and Roger Moore is actually older than Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to sort of be like, yes, it's new, but it's... older. So that was sort of, Connery retiring because he felt he was too old for the role and giving it to somebody who was older.
Yeah. But I think we obviously talked as well about how Skyfall put an end to the idea, or especially the internet theories about, was James Bond a moniker assigned to you when you became 007?
I love the idea of James Bond being a moniker, and I love the idea, which I spoke about very much with Charlie, of just the idea of, like, at the end of Skyfall in particular, that they could bring in all of the previous Bonds, or at least, as we were saying on the train, maybe have them all on photos on the walls, because we've very much gone back to the old padded door and wooden walls, and it's a
Money
bit,
Penny. And...
Yeah. So it would have been really, really nice to be able to sort of cap that off, and it would make a little bit more sense in terms of continuity of the whole series, but it didn't happen.
Especially with, and we talked about how with Judi Dench being M,
yes,
it would have made much more sense then. But they could now, because I mean, they basically said with Casino Royale, it was a Bond reboot. You saw him become 007.
Yes, you did.
We got to see him as a very different Bond to all the previous Bonds.
I think Daniel Craig, having read quite a few, almost all of the Bond books, is much more realistic to how Bond should be. I mean, Ian Fleming was never happy with Sean Connery because he thought he was too pretty. But Daniel Craig has really gone with the sort of alcoholic, and he does in so many of the scenes look extremely bleary-eyed and very haggard, and sort of he is not coping particularly well at times, and I think that he's
on the brink
more,
all times, isn't he?
Yeah, it's much more human, much more this is what a life like this will actually turn you into.
Yeah.
And the psychology behind it is much more interesting than Roger Moore, who is a very, you know, quick one-liners and
straightening of ties. We see a little bit of that with Daniel Craig from time to time, but he's nowhere near the same level of
Ponce.
Yeah, yeah. of like even, I mean, even though it is like one of my most favourite scenes of all time from Bond is GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan in the tank. And he smashes through the wall, and he's like, he's there, and he's like just straightening his ties. He goes, it's like that is an iconic Bond moment.
Yeah.
The whole thing though, just constantly, as if you know, things like a rocket could launch behind him, and Bond isn't affected. But with Craig, like there's real world consequences for everything. I mean, him being tortured in the chair. Quantum of Solace, not really. Fuck all happens in that film. It's just such a. It's one of the, that's down there as one of the worst Bond films. I think it suffered from the writer's strike, but then Skyfall comes back and is just
Quantum of Solace. Is nothing happens. That's
what I mean. Yeah, there is nothing iconic like, happens at all.
No, it does feel very much like filler, but it's not necessarily like. I think I would rather have a bit of inconsequential filler than some of the tripe that has previously been put out that is just. Awful and meanders through all sorts of shit just because they felt that they needed to put all sorts of crap
but they,
into
they
it.
Had they started to lay the like the groundwork for this for a new organization like where we had like Spectre in the past it's like this new group called Quantum and it was the whole great scene in the Opera House of
that
him
was
talking
beautiful.
But then it didn't go anywhere and he led to Damien I can't remember what his surname was
Green.
Is it Damien Green?
I'm pretty sure.
That's the name of a conservative politician.
Well, maybe they're trying to say something.
Yeah. And then that organisation kind of went away. I mean, we saw Mr. White. Oh, yeah, that'd be right. Yeah, Mr. White, yeah. Mr. Green, yeah. But then it didn't seem to go anywhere. And then Skyfall just obviously went off in a completely different direction altogether. But my original point was, going back with the continuity of all this, and we will bring this all the way back to the actual Bond in Motion show in a minute, I think they've laid the groundwork now where they've got these new three films. If when they bring a new Bond in, they could do the whole thing of a continuation of Bond, that he could be a successor.
Yeah, I just don't know whether they're ever going to do that. I just don't.
I think audiences aren't smarter anymore. I think maybe people are more cynical. I mean, we saw it because we had the same queue for 20 films, 19 films. And we had various M's and various money pennies that did, I don't know if any of them did overlap or not. But we've now got a chance to build a solid continuity of, yes, he's the first. And it could be like the 007 title becomes known as James Bond because of how awesome this guy was, but we know that their name is associated to his family because we go up to Skyfall and we see his mum and dad's graves.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it's just, I just like things to be all lined up.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my OCD-ness that kind of...
I think it is very, very tempting. I do not feel that they are actually going to do it because they're just not. They don't feel that they need to. So I think, yeah. But yeah, it was wonderful being able to see all of the stuff that was there, and I absolutely loved it. I have taken a shit ton of photos of everything.
Didn't get to climb on the car, though, did you?
I didn't. I was hoping to be able to lie across the bonnet of a DB5, but it didn't happen.
Or just get in it and hope to drive away when...
No, you can't really go much. It's like, it's downstairs. It's like
it's in
the
cellar,
basement,
isn't it? Yeah.
So I wouldn't have got very far.
No.
But no, just drapage. That's what I wanted, drapage.
So what would you say was your absolute highlight then, in terms of the one vehicle, the one prop, or whatever it was? What was like, wow, I've got to see that in person? What did it for you?
Not sure. I think the DBS that does get totaled in Casino.
That's what I was
Royale
say.
Because it is just such a real scene that you see there of that flip and her. It's you know, her in the road, and it's just really gorgeous. And yeah, seeing the damage that was done to it, and they're showing what's very. you know, clever that they show behind. On, they've got big screens that show clips from the movie that the cars are from. Yeah. So if they've got two in one section, they'll go to one clip and then go to the other.
Yeah.
So that's really good because you get to see it, and you do. You see the wheels go flying.
Yeah.
And they've got all of the information there of, like, that it broke the Guinness World Record and all of this. And the gyrocopter that has tons of Guinness World Records and has because obviously in the movie it was all just yellow, but it's actually owned by someone who's continued to fly it. And so it's got all
that's
stickers.
That's Nelly, little Nelly, isn't it?
No, that's the gyrocopter.
Oh, it's a gyrocopter.
Is it Nelly?
It is Nelly.
And so, that was sort of fun. But I think seeing the damage that had been done to that was just awesome.
Yeah,
seeing how
totaled.
They had had to, like, hold it all together basically with rope to
The wheels were like and it had bolts going through it, didn't it, to keep it all together. I mean, I think someone actually did that. That's like,
someone was driving that
someone
when that
drove
shit happened.
That. Yeah, that's just beyond crazy. But that was really good. It was good being out in London again. Always good fun.
It's my home.
And I got to buy a samurai umbrella sword, which was fucking awesome. And I got looks walking around with this. If you haven't seen this thing online, guys, I don't know whether it's available in the States or not. Basically, it's a long umbrella, like a business umbrella, but it's got a samurai handle. And I fucking love it because I was wearing it. You wear it. It comes with a proper, like, carry case and everything to put it on your back. And people do give you weird looks to the point we came out of. There's a really cool restaurant. There's a little chain in London called Bodine's, which is, it would suit you guys down. It's an American style barbecue place. And it's very much there.
Got some awesome baby back ribs.
Yeah. It's where we watched pretty much all of the last season of NFL, wasn't it? But I think their catchphrase is, if it walks, we barbecue it, or something like that, isn't it?
It's something like that.
Yeah. I remember I walked out of there and there was a bunch of guys standing there, and it was like, he's got a fucking samurai sword. He goes, it's an umbrella, you prick. It's just like, his mate corrected him straight away, but like, still, it does cause...
How much have you had to drink,
yes.
sir? But yeah, it is really, really, really awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, that was really good fun. Loved it.
In terms of looking at what we've been up to that's very British, looking forward as well... We have one of the biggest cons in the UK next weekend.
Yes.
Which is LFCC.
London Film and Comic Con.
Mm-hmm. And you've been busy working on your cosplay.
I have. I think I mentioned last time, I am cosplaying as Elsa from Frozen. I have finally finished, well, as much as a cosplayer has ever finished an outfit, my... corset. I today made the skirt. I have the shoes already done, so now I am on cape duty and top duty, and so I have two more pieces to make. If I make the top and don't get to make the cape, it won't be a big disaster, but I'll be a bit upset. I've got my wig and I've got to do makeup things this week, but it's going to be it's going to be a lot of fun, and a lot of effort has gone into this outfit, so I'm really looking forward to showing it off.
I mean, you're not even actually bothered about seeing or doing anything, that you just want to walk around in...
I just want to walk around, and a friend of mine is going, hi, Maria! We're going as Elsa and Anna together, and she's going to boil, because she's going in all of the winter outfit. In the middle of July. We thought this out really well, as you can tell.
And what's the significance of LFCC, Kia?
LFCC was Dan and I's first date last year.
Yeah, I'm so proud of that. My first date with my future wife was a Comic-Con. That's awesome.
We did. We had an absolutely awesome time. And then we went to the pub afterwards, as you do, because that's what you do when you go to cons. And there was this little thing that us British tend to like. It's called Wimbledon. And
I wouldn't say we like it, we just obsess over it because
I like it. I like going to Wimbledon. Right. And so I, you know, had previously watched pretty much all of, in the last like 5 to 6, maybe even 7 years of the Wimbledon finals. And so we're sitting outside and we're chatting away and we can hear all of this shouting going on because Andy Murray is in the Wimbledon final and it's quite clear by all of the screaming and yelping.
Come on, Andy!
That is going on in the pub. He's actually doing okay in this final. And of course, Andy Murray wins fucking Wimbledon.
But you got a future husband out of it.
And I'm sitting outside talking to you.
At some loon on a first date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you won overall on that one. I think, you know, Andy's gone out in the quarters this time. No one really cares.
Get to see him win the gold medal at
the Olympics. 2012.
Yeah, 2012 Olympics, which was at Wimbledon, which was on centre court. So I have seen him win on centre court, but not...
And that's just all wrapped up now, isn't it? We've just seen tonight was the men's final, so that's all done and dusted for a game. I swear that, as a kid, that used to feel like a month long, Wimbledon, and it's like it's all wrapped up in 2 weeks, but it used to feel like it went on forever.
Well, I think it was mainly due to the rain breaks, and I don't think they've had that many this year.
It's been
really, really good. Yeah. And plus, it makes a big difference now that they do have the roof.
Yeah.
It means that there is always tennis on because they can always play the three games they're supposed to be on. On centre. So, and they're thinking of doing that on court one or court two. I can't remember which one it was that's more suitable to having a roof on.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, LFCC's got some great names coming along, obviously with Star Wars filming in the UK at the moment, and we're going to go on to that in a little bit of time. Carrie Fisher's going to be there. Peter Mayhew, who's normally at Condal anyway, but he's now going to be there as Chewbacca again, in terms of obviously he was Chewbacca in the old films, but he's now filming again in the new Star Wars film. You're looking at me really blankly.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, we've covered this. Yes, it's almost a fucking meme on the podcast we record. Yes, Kia hasn't seen Star Wars. Something I will correct. You've got a load of the Game of Thrones guys are going to be there. But the really cool thing for us is we've got a real big contingent from Need to Consume going this year.
It's going to be awesome.
And we've got a film crew going, and we're going to hopefully record as a podcast. And we're also throwing... the first ever Need to Consume meetup.
Yes. Post-con, which is going to be great fun.
And it's something I've always been very jealous of one of us, on obviously in its previous guise of Spill.com, of them having big get-togethers in Austin, and they had thrown a couple in London, but I hadn't been able to go. But to do something like that's kind of cool. So if you do listen to us on one of us, and you're in London... but you don't really know us as Need to Consume and you want to come along, just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Need to Consume before the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day, isn't it?
Think so.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Yeah. Sounds about right.
11th, 12th. Next Saturday, the 11th or 12th of July is when we're getting together and we're going to a ping pong bar, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's the 12th.
Yes. We're going to be playing... Yeah, it's got like neon ping pong tables. And...
yeah, it's awesome. It's called Ping. It's in Earls Court. And so there will be, I'm thinking around 20, 25 of us all going to be there. So there'll be cosplayers.
That's going to be so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious because I know that we definitely already have Elsa, Anna, Mary Jane, MJ from Spider-Man. Going to be there.
Yeah. And it's the very can I say that? Yeah, it's the very sexy version of MJ where she's in little hipster jeans with a very tight little white t-shirt with a spidey logo on the front. Yeah. It's quite famous, and there's quite a few girls who do cosplay that, and it is an awesome little look with a, you know, nice red wig or natural red hair if they're redheads, which redheads are awesome. They're crazy, but they're awesome. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to kind of actually do... I'm actually really nervous about it.
I'm really excited because I obviously like quite a few of the people that... there are some people that we've never met before in person and we've talked to tons online. There are some people that I've met quite a few times for drinks and know really, really well. And we've got... you get people travelling from all over the country to be able to come and to stay, and quite a few people do stay really close to the venues. So it makes it just a lot of fun. No one has to... that's the great thing about London, and It's why I don't drive a car. I have never driven a car. I do not know how to drive. Is that in London you have a great transport system, so you can pretty much always get home. There's very, if you live in London, there is a night bus that will get you there. The worst case scenario, you're going to be getting a taxi.
And but the Underground's going 24 hours next year.
The
isn't
Underground
it?
Is going 24 hours next year. I'm extremely excited. Only on Saturday and Sunday. Friday and Saturday. Sorry, Friday, Saturday nights. So
makes
from
sense.
Friday morning, it will run until Sunday evening.
Wow, and that's massive.
That's absolutely huge because it's Underground runs to about midnight, and it's just a bit of a night buses are fantastic, and they do run some amazing routes.
But they have weird people on them.
It's not so much the weird people; it's just how long it takes.
Yeah,
it's just all of the crazy drunk people trying to get on and off the bus.
Yeah.
That takes ages, that you feel like, seriously, just get on the fucking bus.
Poor bastard, he has to drive those things. Yeah, it's not quite the same as, oh, I'm going to lose you with a Harry Potter reference. I think I've done this before, so I'm not even going to go there with, there's another blank look. Yeah, I'm just trying to sort of think. Yeah, so with all the characters that are going to be there, I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Stan Lee is going to be here. And I think it's going to be, I think it's his last ever trip to Europe.
Well, I'm going to be dressed up as Harley on Sunday.
He's not going to care.
I don't care. I'm just telling everybody that I'm going to be dressed up as Harley. Fuck you, Dan.
He doesn't care. He's Marvel. He's not DC.
I know.
Okay, fair enough. And I think poor bastard's going to be leaving the photo area because I think everyone's booked photos with him, and the poor guy just isn't going to get out from that screen and have his photo taken with a whole bunch of
weirdos.
People. They're not weirdos, but just... Yeah,
Are we not all widows?
No, but there's some other awesome... I mean, there's Casper Van Diem, I think his name is, who was in Starship Troopers. You've got a load of people from Doctor Who. Jenna Coleman's going to be there. Who's the current Doctor's companion? Clara Oswald. Who else is going to be there? That's big. I'm just trying to think now off the top of my head. And what I'm going to do,
To be honest, I have to say this con has managed to get in some really, really good names, and it seems like this is the con that people will come to meet stars. It doesn't really tend to happen at MCM. There aren't that many people that do signings and autographs and things like that.
That's much closer to San Diego Comic-Con, isn't it? I think in terms of it's video.
It's massively anime.
And, there's some film and TV there.
Very little.
Actually, it's mainly anime, isn't it?
It's mainly anime.
Ugh.
There's your tolerance, Daniel.
No.
It's mainly anime. There's a good amount of gaming there. Decent amount of comics and a lot of artists, actually.
Yeah, there are some. I mean, you've got
quite a few like independent, small indie.
Yeah,
comics.
Well, I mean, Andy Lanning's going to be there. Obviously, he's behind Guardians of the Galaxy, which is coming out this summer, which is quite cool.
I need to do Gamora.
Yeah, Mark Buckingham's going to be there, who's from Fables, who we actually know quite well now. We've got to become quite good friends with Bucky.
We've got a gorgeous piece of his artwork.
Yes, we have. Obviously, Billy Dee Williams from Star Wars, Carrie Fisher I mentioned earlier, Bernard Cribbins from Doctor Who. That's quite a big name. I mean, that guy's just still going strong. It's awesome. Colin Baker, who's been the Doctor previously. Al Snow, if you're into your wrestling.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I have head.
Pardon, what? Oh, yeah, he used to carry around the...
he used to carry around the foam head.
He did, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, well, actually, Al Snow was ended up, I think, for quite a while being at WWE's Ohio Wrestling School, because he's actually a very, very, very good coach and technical wrestler.
Yeah.
He's very good. But yeah, his thing was Godhead.
Godhead, that was it. Obviously, Edward James Olmos, who is the Admiral Dharma from Battlestar Galactica. That's another bit. Obviously, he's in Blade Runner as well. And I think he's recently been in Dexter, but it's not a show I've particularly watched. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, I've got a feeling with the likes of... Well, they've got David Prowse, they've got Carrie Fisher, they've got Peter Mayhew, Kenny Baker I'm sure is going to fucking be there. I'd love Mark Hamill just to show up. That would be
Just rock up.
Because he's going to be in London. He's in London anyway. I mean, Harrison Ford's walking around, well, on sort of a weird one, on one leg. Yeah. He's a miserable fucker. But for a chance to try and
get... My mum still would, though.
Yeah, I'm sure your
mum... So, Harrison, if you're listening. My mum. She's absolutely obsessed.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've just got a feeling that something like... He could just kind of just show up at an event like this.
To get mobbed.
To get mobbed, yeah. I mean, you've
just got... Just for that feeling. Every now and then, you know what I need is a really good mobbing.
That's... boom, phrasing. I think... Yeah, because you've got two big factions for him. You've got the Star Wars fans, and then you've got the Batman fans. And he is the Joker. And there was a whole thing recently online of him. He was at some Star Wars event, and they said, oh, what would it sound like if the Joker told Luke Skywalker that he was his dad? And he just sat there and did the two voices. And it was, yeah, it was incredible. It was really, really funny. But that's LFCC, which is coming up, and we'll probably talk about that on the next podcast.
Yeah, so excited.
Yeah.
So excited. Well, you'll hear on the next podcast whether I actually managed to...
No one showed up to the event. Your dress got ripped.
My dress fell apart.
Yeah. Our filming equipment got robbed. Yeah, it's just it's like... LFC shit. Yeah. It's just...
Never mind.
Yeah. But you mentioned earlier about Star Wars, and we've actually had quite a bit of a busy... cool week of stuff, haven't we?
Yeah, we have actually, because Tuesday was Tuesday?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood Babylon, which is Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman. They do a podcast weekly from LA, and they talk about newsy type stuff, supposedly.
Mm.
It's supposed to be about Hollywood news, and it really, bits of it are and bits of it aren't, but it's extremely funny. And they do a whole ton of voices.
Well, Ralph does, isn't
Ralph
mainly?
Does, yeah. He's absolutely awesome at them. Mm. And they get him to do, like, having one of their segments at the moment is Arnold Schwarzenegger singing children's classic songs.
Or anything kind of musical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's normally children's songs, though. Yeah. It's normally children's, and that's just hilarious.
But yeah, it's very good to kind of see it live. I mean, it's a podcast I kind of got you into, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's very
one of those highbrow.
Oh, it's highbrow. Oh, yeah, it's right up there. Yeah. It's right up there with the Financial Times and
exactly.
The Economist. Yeah, I'm glad.
And it ends with how big is Liam Neeson's cock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Apparently.
And it was quite nice to be able to join in with all of that and sort of see it live. And we obviously saw Jamie Hughes there as well. And I mean, I used to be a massive Kevin Smith fan. And his films did get progressively worse. But I think he's definitely found his niche with podcasts. And obviously he's got a whole fucking network full of them, which is what obviously one of us are doing. They're building their whole network, and we're slowly but surely trying to sort of build a bit of a network of our own need to consume. But yeah, it was really good. And obviously sold out the Hammersmith Apollo, which is 3,000?
About 2,500.
Yeah, but he was ultra excited because obviously they're all over in England, and he got to go to Pinewood Studios.
Yes, he could not have been more thrilled. He was kid at Christmas.
The fucker got up and ran.
Yeah, if you've seen how big he is at the moment, that is a sight to behold, because he does not run.
No.
Kevin Smith does not run.
No, the only thing that runs is the sweat down his head.
Yeah.
And yeah, he got up and did a lap round the table, which he then winded him for the next 20 minutes. And yeah, we have kind of talked about this on our Three Bods podcast, but it's kind of worth mentioning again because there's any crossover. But he's broken NDA rules, hasn't he? Completely.
No, he hasn't. He just gave Ralph a set of questions to ask him whether he had or had not seen certain things whilst taking a day trip out around London that day. And he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. He might have nodded profusely, but he did not say anything.
No. So things that he agreed, he said yes to, was he saw
blasters.
He saw lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
The big one was stormtroopers. That blew me away. Of holy shit, there's stormtroopers. But I think they said just like everything was practical, everything was tactile.
Yeah, he said he is creating a world that you can walk through. Mm. And just even down to the minute details of in the first movie that they were trying to create futuristic looking buckles for in some of
it, it was in the Falcon.
In the Falcon,
yeah.
But they wrapped them in bubble wrap because they thought that looked futuristic. So when you go onto the Falcon now, they are wrapped in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
It seems to they have taken detailing to a new height.
Mm, absolutely. And I think that's, I mean, that's obviously the weird thing is obviously when they released the prequels, it even though it was before within that storyline, everything got a bit more futuristic. And I know that Dapper on Three Bods tried to argue. It was like, oh yeah, but it was in a time of, you know, a time of prosperity and everything was good and then it went shit. But technology doesn't get worse. You know, it's a case of, I was maybe expecting to see now in the Falcon, like HD televisions or something. But I think they've kept it very much, everything's dirty and real and minimalist. There's no kind of like other sci-fi where everything's like really futuristic. It's a case of it's practical of, well, this is my spaceship and I need it to be practical. So I've got things here and things there and whatever. But yeah, it was kind of really good. And it's, I mean, Kevin Smith will talk about Star Wars at length to anybody.
Yeah, he had a decision to make later that evening, having been to the Star Wars set, yeah. Which I absolutely loved. And so his wife had been out with Jason Mewes' wife and they had got hammered. And so she came back to the hotel room feeling rather randy.
Yes.
And decided that she wanted a bit of Kevin Smith. And so he's sitting there typing on his, you know, MacBook or whatever.
Fanboying over.
Yeah, just literally, dear diary,
yeah.
Today I saw a lightsaber. Yeah. And completely writing everything up. And she was sort of trying to seduce him. And he said, I had this dilemma of Star Wars or pussy?
Yeah.
Pussy or Star Wars? It was basically what ended up happening is I think pussy just about won because I think she managed to drag him from the computer. And he said that when she's the drunker she gets, the more bossy she gets.
Yeah.
And so she was like, you know, sort of telling him what to do and was like, well, I'm drunk now and you're going to do all of the work. And so I think he was behind her. Doing what he was doing, and she was just like, harder, harder, and Kevin may not have been doing things to her liking, and so she screamed, use the force, fucker! To which Kevin probably pulled out and pissed himself laughing and got chucked out of his hotel room.
I mean, that was a graphic story to open up with, and I think it was
so funny.
It was like, I was images of a naked fat Kevin Smith, which was not a good way to start the evening.
He doesn't take his top off, it's fine.
No, he doesn't, no.
But yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. And then in the morning, he saw her and reminded her of her wonderful phrase. And I don't think she's spoken to him since.
No. It's one I'm going to try, I think, at some point. Or just, no, you're shaking your head at me. No.
Use the force, fucker.
Yeah. Got my lightsaber, baby girl. It's like, I don't think that's going to go over too well, is it?
It's, probably not. It's a reference quite lost on me. So.
Well, no, I mean, that's all like zeitgeisty. It's like Princess Leia's slave outfit. You'd recognise that, wouldn't you? The metal bikini.
Now?
Yeah.
2 years ago? No.
Really?
No, oh, okay. I'd recognise the hair.
Yeah.
So in the two buns and the white outfit, more
you know,
likely.
With it being in Friends and with every single fucking San Diego Comic-Con having 20, 30, 50...
Yeah, but you remember I wasn't, like, massively...
No, you weren't.
Like...
No. You're one of those fake geek girls.
Yes. This may be the last you ever hear of Daniel, because he may not survive the evening. We do not talk about fake geek girls, because they don't exist.
Or do they? Bombshell. And on that bombshell, I think we'll draw it there. Thank you very much for listening. As ever, please do check out all the other shows on oneofus.net. The guys there in Austin do very, very hard work. And I know they've got a fantastic subscriber program at the moment, where you can get a whole bunch of exclusive audio content. You get access to different things, some t-shirts and God knows what else. And those guys are working very, very hard to try and bring that content. They work a damn sight harder, I think, than what we do at Need to Consume at the moment, because they've got a bigger team and they're all very, very good. And one other thing as well, I really enjoyed this. I think it was last week's Inside the Locker Room with Brian Salisbury talking about football. And I mean football, not NFL football. Soccer. About Suarez and everything else. I'm loving the interest you Americans are taking in the world sport. I'm really grateful to kind of see. And it terrifies me because I think if you actually guys got organised, you're going to fucking win that competition before England do again. And that upsets me greatly. But with the population of 350 million... plus all the immigrants that, you know, some of your country don't want, but the rest of you do, you're going to get some fantastic footballers. And that's terrifying to think of you guys lifting that cup or trophy. But yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Brian and the crew talk about Suarez, who plays for my team, Liverpool. And I would kill Brian to talk to you about football on that podcast at any time, because I'm a huge football fan. Don't make that face. Aww. Look, Brian's invited you to be part of their bloody fantasy football league next season.
Because that's real football, and I completely pretty much ran your league last year. So
no, you didn't. I ran my own team. You're not Jenny.
I'm Jenny.
You're not Jenny.
I was awesome.
But yeah, really enjoyed it.
Andrew Luck, and he consistently.
Luck was good. Yeah, he was. But yeah, over obviously this side of the pond, we've got needtoconsume.com. Please do come check us out as well. We do put out some awesome stuff. You've also got the 3BODS1POD podcast, facebook.com/needtoconsume, and our Twitter feed is @needtoconsume. But with that, do you want to say anything else?
No, you can check out Maria and I at Queer Maria Cosplay on Facebook.
And we did have someone come and say hello to you, didn't
we? Yes, we did. Please come say hi. We don't bite. Only if you ask us nicely.
Say goodbye, Miss Moneypenny.
Goodbye, James.